Thank you, Lord. He's so faithful. Psalm 31 is a wonderful psalm, a psalm that we pray and say for protection, and God answers. And we're so grateful for that. Prayer is such a big deal. And I wanted to talk about prayer just a little bit today. Because prayer in our society seems to be losing some value. You know, eroding, right? When I was a kid, if somebody said that they were praying, you assumed that they actually did, and you assumed that something was going to happen. But I looked up online, and there was a survey that they did after Hurricane Florence in 2018. And they went around and they interviewed 400 people and asked them what they thought of thoughts and prayers. You know, we have thoughts and prayers for you. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you, and all of those kind of things. Now, if the people were Christian, they valued that, and they tried to put a dollar value on it, you know, just to see how big it is. You know, like if somebody said, well, our thoughts and prayers were with you, what would you pay for that? Now, Christians were willing to pay up to $4 for a stranger to pay to pray and have thoughts for them. Well, that's not bad. If I met somebody on the street, I wouldn't know the efficacy of their prayers. I don't know their devotional life. So $4 seemed like a good deal to me. The problem is that almost half of the people said that they would pay up to $3.50 to have people not pray for them. They didn't want any of those prayers, thank you very much. Now, that was an odd comment to me, and so I thought, I want to look at this a little bit. And so I spent some time praying about it, because this is a time when we have an opportunity to pray. This pandemic around the world has given us the opportunity, like never before in my lifetime anyway, to have some time to spend with the Lord and to be proactive toward it, not just kind of fit him in or do it out of obligation, but to do it because he's so wonderful. And I wanted to do just that. But then I started to think about what do others think about prayer? And will prayer change things? Now you look at prayer, and subjectively you have to say, I don't know if it works or not. You know, there's some things you pray for a long time, and nothing seems to happen. But other times seems like you can hardly get the words out of your mouth, and kaboom, something has changed. So what's the deal there? What's God up to? I think that he's always up to something wonderful. Yeah. Some people think that, or feel that, the offer of prayer is a platitude, one that takes the place of meaningful action. You ever think that? So if you're going through a particularly difficult time and somebody says, well, I'll pray for you, wouldn't a visit have gone further? Wouldn't a meal have gone further? Wouldn't just taking you for a coffee have been more meaningful to you? Or was I'll pray for you a kind of a platitude to, you know, I'm going to get on with my life, go ahead and get on with yours. And so all of these things kind of run through our minds, because problem is we're an intelligent bunch. But prayer in our society, this society that we are living in, and the one that God chose us to live in, because I believe that we were chosen for this time. we have the wherewithal to push against what society is trying to make us eat. What society is trying to, whoever it is in society, pick your poison. You know, which of these conspiracies do you want to believe in? They may be true. They may all be true in some way or another. But all of them are trying to feed us something that as Christians we cannot be partaking of. We cannot be eating at the trough of the worldly systems. We must maintain our time in the Lord. We must maintain our relationship with the Lord. And so to do that is requiring a push against the wave that's pushing through the world right now. Discernment is definitely a part of it, yeah. That was a focus of a sermon 5 or 6 weeks ago, yeah, in the midst of this thing. We are more than halfway through the Pentecost season. The Pentecost Sunday is the 31st of May, and today's the 10th, and so we're just 21 days away in the 50-day continuum of a Pentecost. What's God going to do in Pentecost this time? Is there going to be something special? I don't know, but I have an excitement in my heart about what's coming. I don't know what he's going to be doing, and he's not copying me in on the memos anymore. I think maybe he uses Hillary Clinton's email server. If you don't know what that means, then it's okay. God bless you. So on this Mother's Day, mothers are known for prayer, and I wanted to, like, if you have a praying mother or a praying grandmother, you don't have a hope of not being a Christian. Mothers seem to catch the whole idea about prayer. So it seemed to be a perfect Sunday to talk about prayer just a little bit. But prayer has more value to me than $4 to a stranger to pray for me. Prayer is very significant, and I covet the prayers of the people of God just to make it through this season or any season, because the attacks against us are real and consistent. Like the waves of the sea, they just keep coming, the attacks, and you just can't get away from them. So what does prayer do? Well, for starters, prayer changes us, I think. There's just a couple of things that I wanted to talk about in there, but prayer changes us. More than changing the outcome of a situation in front of us, whether it's a natural disaster or terminal illness or whatever, prayer changes our relationship with God. Psalm 31, which was so wonderfully read by David, is a prayer for deliverance, and it includes an appeal to God. In verse 2, it says, "Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily." Any of you have wanted to pray that prayer in the last 6-8 weeks? "Rescue me speedily. Oh God, get me out of my house. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me." Hallelujah. Not just me, but the world. Would you save the world, Lord? And this prayer is about deepening a relationship with God. It's recognizing that there is somebody bigger than me involved in this whole thing. There is someone that I can trust, that I can turn to. And in that, I recognize that I'm not the end of it. I am not a rock or an island. I am not alone. There is someone who cares for me, and I am subjecting myself to them, as to him, as I pray these prayers. So the prayer changes me, first of all, because I have to come down off the throne in my heart. How often do we live on the throne in our hearts? We're the important one. right? But in order to pray, I have to come off that throne, and I have to give place to Jesus on that throne. Amen. And so it changes me, even just a little bit, to attend to prayer. Atheists, they have had a point. Prayers are really looked at in almost a comical way. You know, in sports, for example, Hail Mary is a prayer that's prayed by many people around the world. But in sports, a Hail Mary is like everybody understands, it's a hope and a prayer. You put up a great big long football pass and hope that somebody's going to catch it. And that's called the Hail Mary. And that belittles the whole point of prayer. Like, I throw this thing up, and I'll hope that somebody is at the other end of this thing catching this. And it gives us a really poor taste in our mouth about who God is. Does he care? Is he there to hear my prayers? Will he catch this prayer if I throw it at him? Or am I just throwing a Hail Mary? Just something out there, hoping that something happens. Right? But it's way bigger than that. And way more wonderful than that. He is so good all of the time. Praying people turn to God and ask for help to live better lives. The whole point of us living and moving here, living for Jesus, if you would, becoming Christians, is that we become like him. Amen. And every time you pray, you recognize that there's a place for me to move closer to that goal. Every time you pray, you recognize that somebody bigger is out there, and I am a little less, but I'm becoming like him, moving into his likeness and his wonder. It's so good. If you, just before I go on to some other points, one thing I like to do is be practical. It's one thing to be theological, and I'll give you the teaching and talk about prayer in an abstract sort of a fashion. But I always like to give something practical, something that we can go away with and actually use. Today, my tidbit for you is one thing we need to, not need to, we can choose to, do with our prayer lives is not pray for an answer, but rather than pray for an answer, to pray with God. What is God praying in this moment? What is God doing in this moment? And how can I join him in what's going on? Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You're a paid professional. Yes? But it's all the same. We are all the same that way. How do we do that? Well, the Bible gives us some interesting views toward that. If we look at Hebrews 7, verse 25, I'll just get my handy dandy. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, come in. Hebrews 7, 25. You guys will all know this, but consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. This is talking about Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, there's two ways to look at that, just theologically. He always lives to make intercession for them. Intercession means to come between, right? And so he is always standing in between God the Father in us, so that God looks through him to see us. And when he sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he, as our intercessor going in between, God sees Jesus in and through us. And so we are beloved, right? And so the intercession that way is not prayer related, but God has allowed us to have an understanding of intercession being someone who goes between in a prayer fashion, someone who stands in the gap, if you would, to pray for someone else. And so in this situation, I had an example made to me one day of a person of God being on a mission for God. Sounds so noble. On a mission for God. And the enemy had plans to take that person out. But an intercessor would walk between the enemy and the person on the mission and deflect the attack, the warfare, so that the person was able to complete the mission. The intercessor took the blows, if you would, spiritual blows. So if we look at intercession that way, Jesus, and it's a reasonable theological point of view, even for this verse. Jesus lives to make intercession, constant intercession for us. The prayer that he prayed in John 17, like that, Lord, Father, as you and I are one, let them be one with us together. That kind of a prayer. And so Jesus is always making prayers for us. Well, that's interesting. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us with all our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The picture there is he lives with us, right?
Yes.
And in living with us, he has to groan. Oh, they doing that again. That's not the idea. Groanings too deep to understand. He's making intercession for us. He is praying for us. So you have this picture. It's so beautiful, actually. Go again to Romans 11. Is it Romans 11, 35? I can't read my own writing here. Romans 11, 35. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? That's talking about giving a gift to God, and it's a rhetorical question. Nobody's going to pay God back because everything comes from him. Everything of value comes from him. The next verse says, for from him, from God, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. There's a circular pattern happening here. From God the Father to Jesus who lives in us through the Holy Spirit back to him.
Hallelujah.
Right? And so God, through Jesus, who's praying prayers for us, interceding for us, through the Holy Spirit, who is also interceding for us, Jesus, Holy Spirit, stereo prayers happening all the time for us, goes back to him. This thing is going all around. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, none of my prayers get answered. The answer may be no. But more like the God that I know is a God of exchange, you know? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He's always exchanging one thing for another. He's always wanting us to move from something that's not good for us to something that is absolutely wonderful for us. And so the way I look at that whole thing is I'm saying a prayer and it doesn't seem to be getting answered. And God says, I don't like that prayer. He doesn't quite say it like that because he's so nice. He's not me. I don't like that prayer. I have a prayer over here that you should be praying. This is a better prayer. And so it says, pray askingly. Ask, seek, knock. And the idea of the verbs in there is ask askingly, seek seekingly, yeah. Knock knockingly. Do it without fail. So you pray and you pray and you pray. And so every time you pray that thing, he says, it's not the prayer. And so it becomes a little bit different. Well, that's warmer. We're getting there. I still don't like it, but warmer. Oh, you're getting very hot. There, you made it to the prayer that I wanted you to pray. We've been changed in his presence to want the things that he's wanted. That we've heard the Holy Spirit, who has the mind of Christ, right? It's us. Jesus is praying. Holy Spirit is praying. We have access to those things. And we start to move toward what God wants us to pray. Now, we want everything instant on, like a light switch. Boom. I prayed, didn't happen. But God seems to take his time. Might be because he's outside of time. I mean, you know, that's that's unfair. He put us in it and he's out of it. But he's infinitely patient. Love is kind, love is gentle, love is patient. All of that, love is God, and God is patient. He's teaching us to be like him. And so these prayer things are teaching us patience as well. We are becoming like him when we start to pray those things. So practically speaking then, from him, to him, through him, we want to become receivers of those prayers. What's the trick? We can become deceived by what we hear if we're not careful. Pious people throughout the ages have been sure they've been hearing from God, and they have been deceived. It's a dangerous trap. But one way you know you will not be deceived. There is a secret code language that God gave us that the devil, in all of the thousands of years that he's had, hasn't been able to crack. It's called speaking in tongues. It's a secret weapon. And so your spirit is hearing what Jesus is praying, what Holy Spirit is praying, and what's going back to God the Father. This whole circle thing is happening. How do I join in? Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. It builds up the inner man, but it also prays in a way that is undecipherable by the enemy. He's clueless. And he doesn't have a weapon to battle against it. He hears you praying something, and he can move to thwart it if he is fast enough. But you pray in tongues, and you join Jesus and the Holy Spirit in praying something delightful. And every now and then while you're praying, he lets you interpret it, even in your private prayers. And you go, whoa, that's good. I wish I'd thought of that. You join him as this prayer goes round and round from him, through him, to him. It goes around. And you become the third part of a threefold cord. Jesus, Holy Spirit, and you praying the same things, and you think that's not going to get answered. It's going to get answered. So rather than looking for an answer, join God in what he's looking for. He lives in you. He knows what you need. He knows. He gives you the desires of your heart. He's aware of those things. All of that stuff is true and right. Why not join him in what he's doing? Because his timetable may have me praying my prayers for years. And out of that, I get dejected at times. Out of that, I get defeated at times because I don't see anything and the enemy speaks to me. And then the people that say that they would pay me $3.50 not to pray, that gets to me. It wears me down. But when I pray in tongues, it builds up my inner man. Builds me up. And I get to join with a heavenly prayer, knowing that I'm in his will. And I'm joining him in what he's doing. And I will see the answer to that. I will see the answer because I'm praying his prayer and not my prayer. So many of us think that I mustn't be praying the right way because nothing ever gets answered. Well, it will get answered. Just have a little patience. God will move you from the prayer that he doesn't want to the prayer he wants.
Praise God. Yep.
It'll get there. But it can get there faster if we build up the inner man. If we let that thing starts to percolate, start to move and get going. We often are struck by thoughts that are actually generated by the world system. Even as Christians, we're subjected to enough of it that we start to think like the world system. Well, God has an answer for that. Have another thought. Have a better thought. Have one that's more godly, one that lines up with his word, and one that is in his path, one that comes from him through Jesus, back through the Holy Spirit to him. That's an answered prayer right away. We don't have to be thinking those thoughts that the world system or the enemy wants us to have. Another value in prayer, this is the last bit that I'm going to do today. Another value in prayer is that it aligns us with the will of God for healing and wholeness in human life. God wants us to have courage and wisdom and serenity regardless of the particular challenges we face. And when life is overwhelming, like we've experienced this last couple of months, we can pray for God to rescue us and save us. If you just take Psalm 31 there and let it become your prayer rather than your daily reading, just say it out loud. Rescue us. Save us, O God. And he has a heart to do that. God wants us to save us from the worst that life can throw at us, even death itself. Serenity comes from the knowledge that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The value of prayer goes way beyond that $4 value that the people were willing to pray a stranger to pray for them. It goes way beyond that because in every prayer, you're starting to turn more into Jesus' likeness. However little the prayer is, you will never be the same as you were before you prayed it, because you are subjecting yourself to the Almighty God. So even a little prayer, even your prayer at dinner, changes you. But you can actually move with the wonder and power if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and you think that an atomic bomb has power, nothing has been able to move people from death except the Spirit of God. If that same spirit dwells in you, if that's, and he does dwell in you. And so from intercession of Jesus through you in agreement to the Holy Spirit back to God, you will see your life transformed as you become more and more like Jesus. And that's a biblical promise. What's that? I'm missing that. Become the prayer. That's even better. That's the next step. Yeah. You have something? A testimony. Okay. Why don't you bring that? And then we'll have our beloved Ron come and close for us. This is red. Well, is there enough juice in it, do you think? Oh, it just went green, so okay.
I just have a testimony of this, and you know, I don't know if you're reacting to the idea that you're praying certain prayers, but maybe God, maybe he's saying, that's not really what I want you to be praying. I don't know if you react to that, and I think that if I hadn't just, you know, like I know intellectually that that's true, but if I hadn't had just gone through what I have gone through recently, I don't think I would have really absorbed that very well. But I know that it's true. And we know that it's true, that there's prayers that we can pray that are very selfish prayers. And so what God was showing me lately, this is what I'll tell you, I'll testify, that, you know, in our situation, our family situation, which most of you know about, you know, you're praying a certain way, and you want to see this and see that and see this, and you pray with hope, and you pray, and you know, and with confidence, and, you know, God, you know, he's just, you know, he parts the sea so we can walk right through it, and we know that he's going to come through, la, 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 la. And it's like, I had great faith for God to do the impossible. Absolutely, absolutely. He does the impossible all the time. Sometimes not the impossible when a loved one goes home. No, that's another thing altogether. But while we have to struggle here, I know that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. There's so many songs that are written. But what was happening to me is, you know, the Lord says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Well, I think I was, before I get into that, I'll just say quickly, a friend of mine told me that grumble is the rumble of the tumbril. And I was just sharing that with someone this week. Grumbling is the noise of the tumbril, and the tumbril is what would take people to the guillotine. So when we grumble, we are now making a noise that is going to make us lose our heads. And, you know, I felt like my problem was that when I was praying, I had my sights on an invisible goal. My goal is there. I see it. That's what I want. I want my family, my children to be reunited with their children. I want it to be like that. And once that's happening, then, you know, we'll just move on and into whatever else God has for us. So there was this invisible goal because I couldn't see it. Nothing's manifesting. It's not manifesting. And Randy said that the discouragement would come to him when the goalposts would be moved. So you have this time, you're thinking, and prophecies would come and say it's a certain time, and then all of a sudden that's moved, and now it's there, and now it's there, and oh, now it's there. And so then when COVID happened, I found myself prepped, primed for more grumbling. I found myself downright angry, irritated, and not very consolable, so that my reactions in the house were different. And my vision was askew because, see, the rumbling of the tumbrel was happening. And it was noisy, and it's not the Lord. You know, I can't connect with the Lord right. You know, I'm praying, and then oftentimes I would say to the Lord, I don't even know what to pray. What do I pray? What I was saying was, what can I pray that will cause this answer to come that I want here, this answer here? Anyway, so to try to make a long story short, it was a long journey for a while. It feels like a long journey. But so what he was showing was exactly that. It wasn't, I'd lost sight. I'd lost the joy, the daily joy. I mean, I always, you know, would be joyful. I mean, of course I had joyful times, and always church would bring me joy, and worship always brought me joy. But in the daily, confronting my situation, and now with COVID, and the kids are kind of going crazy, you know. Not really. They're doing really, really well. But it isn't easy for them, right? It's not easy for any children right now that are cut off from their friends. And so, but I just found like I lost my joy. I lost that. That was my source of making me, you know, a happy grandma and, you know, just looking at the bright side and just trying to make things work better. But I was just losing my joy. And so I decided I was really going to do business with God on this. And I sat with him, and it was, I think it was Friday morning, and or Thursday morning, I'm not sure. And no, it was Friday morning. And I just laid it out and just asked the Lord, you know, God, you know, the funny thing about it, as soon as I met with him, you know, the Father's there, and you just feel the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And as soon as you designate a time, it's like he doesn't even waste a moment. You could feel his presence. And I said, you know, I know what I've been doing wrong, Lord. And I just can't seem to get out of this. Like, the discouragement, the longevity of it. And, I mean, you know, he could remind me about the 40 years of the children wandering in the desert. It didn't encourage my heart at all. It just was, oh, God. Like, and then I'd read a testimony of someone 5 years later, and I'd go, oh, gosh. Or 10 years, I came out of this dark place, and oh, my gosh. Thinking, I'm just 3 years into this. But anyway, I was talking to the Lord, and somehow, just being in that presence, he was just moving in there in a way I couldn't even, and I was praying in tongues as well, but I couldn't even cause that to happen. I couldn't make sense of it. I couldn't ask him to do what he did. But in my heartfelt sadness that I knew I wasn't bringing him joy, because I knew I wasn't bringing him joy when I'm not being thankful, in my heartfelt sadness, he just did something in there. And my perspective changed. And it was like I started to see beyond myself. Now, I pray for people. It's not like I would think of myself as that kind of a person, but I saw that I was very consumed in a way that I hadn't been aware with this invisible goal. And I was kind of lost with that. And it was affecting my life. And so basically, somehow, he just got me back to that place of a Sunday school. Actually, it was a passage of the Bible, or no, it wasn't even a passage of the Bible. It was a Roman Catholic teaching when I was in grade one. We had to learn catechism, and there was a question, I always remembered it, but it said, why did God make you? And Jesus reminded me about this question, and the answer is, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world. And I thought, Lord, where did I get off forgetting that my life is in service to you? And you've given me this awesome privilege to serve you in a way I would never have expected. And I mean, that's how I started out. And somehow I lost my way in becoming weary and well-doing or whatever it was. But I just lost my way a little bit. Anyway, he was so gracious to bring me back to pray the right prayer. And that's what it was. And just come all of a sudden. And, you know, I'll tell you, a release happened that I went to sleep last night. The moon was bright in the window because I wanted it open because it was, you know, the cool air was coming in. And the moon was so bright. And I went to sleep with a smile on my face, praying for select people that he was just bringing to my mind. And you know, though I carried on and was praying before, it wasn't with the same gratitude in my heart. So, you know, I mean, it's a kind of a long way to tell you, but it's true that our prayers need to line up with the heart of God. What are we here for? What are we here for? We're here to love him and to serve him. Like, we're here to serve him. And do I get to pick how I'm going to serve him? And actually, he's so gracious, he gives us ways to serve him. And then when we're obedient in it, we just can't be more grateful. So I just wanted to share that because there is a prayer that touches his heart, and it always comes with gratitude.
Well, I'm excited to pray more. What a privilege it is to pray. And when I pray, what I'm saying in my heart is, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. When I'm not doing that, basically I'm in self-strength, trusting myself. And that's worked well. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then after trust, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. After trusting, committing, and then rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we can trust the Lord in that. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Father, that we can trust you. Lord, just forgive me for where I've been in self-strength. That hasn't worked well. Father, I know that when I trust in you and I commit my way to you and rest in you, then I can do that. I can rest in you. So, Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you that we can be together here, just be encouraged by your word, encouraged by being in fellowship. And Lord, as we continue on, just pray by your Spirit, Lord, that even today that you would just cause something in our hearts that would want us to draw closer to you in prayer, talking to you, trusting you. And in that, Lord, that we would just sense your presence more, that we would actually sense your manifest fragrance, Lord. We thank you that in that, Lord, that you put joy in our hearts in the midst of all that we're going through. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, as we go about our day, the rest of our day, Lord, that we would be aware of you. Lord, your word says for us to be praying without ceasing. So Lord, just cause us by your Spirit to have that attitude through the day. And in doing that, I know that we shall hear from you. So Lord, just bless your people. Father, those that are hurting, that need a touch from you, that today their hearts be encouraged. We speak the healing virtues of Jesus Christ upon each one. And Lord, for those that don't know you, Lord, that today would be the day that those ones would acknowledge their need for you, acknowledge the separation in our hearts from you. And Lord, you say that as we come and as we repent of our sin and forsake our old ways, Lord, and turn and surrender to you, Lord, that you shall lead us in paths of righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for that. So we just say now for all that are listening, Father, that just direct our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.